You with SEM Breakfast, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Great to have your company this morning. Jack Heron in the chair for Gary Lyon. Tim Watson is here. Daisy Pearce still to come. Jamie Elliott still to come. And we're going to take a trip down memory lane in just a moment as well. Tim, 1300 736 736 is how you can join us on the phone. You can send us a text, 0433 98 11 16 as well. He's a good man, Peter Siddle. It was great to catch up with him just before the news. Fantastic fella.
He was, and he really did paint the picture of the difference, or appears to be a very different dressing room than what was previously the Australian dressing room.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, you just wonder, don't you, how much that means to the current day player, the difference in the way that operates, and how players may feel more comfortable being a part of the Australian team than what they did previously.
Bit of bathwater being drunk in the past, you reckon, by the looks of it?
Well, I don't know what we heard lots of different things about, the Australian dressing room and, the structure and the hierarchy, all that type of thing. I just wonder whether or not it's a place that players are enjoying more than what they did in the past.
A lot of credit goes to Justin Langer. I reckon he's done an outstanding job to come in as coach of that group, and Tim Payne as well.
Yeah, he seems to be the right man for this time, doesn't he?
You can join us on the phone, you can join us on the text, or you can get involved on Twitter as well, at SEN Breakfast.
Great kick! Scores a level! Go to the fridge and get another coldie out. We might have 10 more minutes.
Craig Scholl regains his footing, gets back onto that left foot. Can he kick short? In towards centre-half forward. King! Pritchard on the mark. We've got 10 seconds left.
8, 6.
King, you must get the football onto your boot. Because if he can't get the distance from here, we have extra time. And look at Dennis Pagan. He is just so disappointed that the boy didn't get the ball onto his boot a little quicker. Because if it had landed in the square, North Melbourne may have been able to rush it over the line and score a point.
It's going to be a big torpedo, Robbo.
It's got to be the biggest kick this man has ever done in his life to score.
Where's Malcolm Blight?
Now, if it bounces in the square, it's a dead ball, right?
Yes.
Here's King. He's got onto it. It is a big, big kick. But it's rebounded, so we've got extra time in the qualifying final.
Yesterday, Tim, was 25 years to the day since that famous 1994 qualifying final between North Melbourne and Hawthorn. It was the first extra time final in history. A remarkable day, and it ended up being just a remarkable final series, 94, but that day was just incredible at Waverley Park. Just incredible. Dennis Pagan, two-time premiership coach, was the man coaching North Melbourne on that day. He's been good enough to join us here on SEN Breakfast. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. How are you travelling?
Hey, great. Thanks for joining us this morning. We were reflecting on this game. It really was just an incredible day, and it was almost a state of confusion after Kingy's torpedo.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone was sure what to expect, Jack, but it was good that it turned out in our favour. And, I don't have a lot of memories of the game, but I still remember David King hatching the football when there was only about 10 or 12 seconds to go, and you're just sort of hoping like mad to get it under his boot and we could have punched it through for a point or something.
Hey, Dennis, good morning to you. Can I take you back to the lead-up to this game during the week? Wayne Carey was in some doubt, had a cork calf, only ran slow laps in training, that type of thing. Your attitude around somebody like him playing a game, a big game, a big finals game, injured, did you have any doubts at that time that he wouldn't be able to take his place in the side?
Oh, we did. He tore his soleus muscle in his calf. And he wasn't right. He didn't train during the week. He might have come out and had some quick hands on Thursday night. We had very good medical guys with, Harry Unglick and his team and our physios and that. And, they got him there and he played. With the soleus, you can, once you get in flat out, you're okay. It doesn't hurt, but it's only when you jog and when you walk that it really catches you. But Wayne being the player that he is, and going into a final, there wouldn't be too many guys you'd trust going into a final without training, but Wayne Carey could do it, and I think he kicked 6 goals or something that day anyway.
Well, he kicked 4-4 and he had 32 disposals, so I mean,
had an off day.
That's extraordinary. Like, you talk about the fact that, how injured he was going into that game. I mean, it goes to the heart of how tough he was mentally too.
Oh, was he ever. And, He pulled up that sore after the game, and I think we Dame Fortune might have smiled on us because an unexpected result where we didn't have to play the next week, and I think it was against Geelong, and he came out and virtually trained for 10 minutes on the Thursday night some 12 days later, and I think he had kicked six against in the preliminary final that year too. So it was a special final series for Wayne.
Dennis, I know it was a long time ago, but 3-5-0 in extra time. Do you remember how the boys were feeling or what you were feeling going into that extra time period?
It just happened so quickly, Jack. Yeah. 25 years ago, it's a long while, but my memories of it is it just, you know, it happened so quickly. It was frustrating. We couldn't get the ball in to when Bailey King had his shot, and, you know, we just had to go out there, and I can't even remember what the instructions were, but we really dominated that extra time period, and, you know, I don't think Hawthorn scored in it. I may be corrected there, but when Wayne took that strong mark and kicked that last goal in the end of 5 minutes each way, it was a great feeling then, I can tell you.
Was the coach able to go down and address the players before that extra time, Dennis, or not?
You know, no, I don't reckon you were, Tim. I can't remember, really. You know, I don't recollect saying anything. Mm. I think they just changed over. But I might be wrong there. As we go further down the track, I'm getting silly. Hey,
we all are. I know what a meticulous planner you were. And on this particular day, Dunstall kicked the ton. So was that part of your pre-game too in terms of instructing to your player, like, this is going to happen, there's going to be a disruption to the game? Was that something that you had to tell or talk to the players about in the lead-up?
Look, it probably was. My philosophy was, look, we were more concerned about what we were going to do. You know, at that stage, then I think Hawthorn may have had a bit of a... might have got a couple of goals in front, and it may be... it didn't help them when the stop the momentum and that sort of stuff. But, you know, he's such a great player, Jason Dunstall, and you're always concerned not about the 100th goal, but the one after and the one after that, and hope that he wasn't going to kick him against the Kangas that day.
At what sort of a record did Mickey have against Dunstall?
Look, I think Mick had a pretty good record against a lot of players, but... Gee, Dunstall was a great player, and I think he kicked the bag that day anyway. He might have kicked four or five on him. He's such an important player for Hawthorn, an absolute superstar.
Dennis Pagan joining us here on SEN Breakfast.
And Dennis, just moving away from that game, and you know, broadly speaking about finals games, and you know, Rhys Stanley gets left out of the side last Friday night for the Cats. They overlook him, obviously. There's a confidence issue here now that the coaching staff have in him. He may feel that coming back the other way too. If they play him this week, how much time and effort goes into rebuilding somebody's confidence around a decision that has been made like this?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one, Tim, because I saw him on an interview the other night on TV and he didn't look too happy about things. And, you know, if he's going to play him this week, he's got to get, you know, onto him. And how you go about that is going to be a... an episode in itself, really important that if they're going to play him this week, that he's in the right frame of mind, because it's the most important game of the year for the Cats. I'm sure with the people they've got at Geelong and the coaching staff, I'm sure it'll be all right. And maybe it might even be a good cop, bad cop scenario. Maybe some of the assistants could grab him and might get a better result. But once he knows he's playing... And if his motivation is, I've got something to prove to the coach, that might be the best motivation to have.
And Dennis, if you were in the situation of Collingwood or Richmond, and you've been there before as a coach, how do you treat the week off this week? What would you advise the boys to do? Do you watch a heap of footy and keep across it, or do you get them to try and switch off for a couple of days?
No, it's an amazing question, Jack, because I reckon Richmond lost the flag in 2017 because what did they do? They... you know, won the first game and ended up only playing one game in 3 weeks. And what do you do as a coach? You know, you got strength and conditioning guys in your ear, so put them in cotton wool. Let's make sure they're fresh. My belief was that, and, you know, I think they're creatures of habit footballers and need the routine. My every time we were involved, and it served us really well, I'd say straight after You know, if you're in a situation where you had weeks off, this side isn't finalised yet, boys. We've got three or four positions we're looking at, bringing mouth guards to training. I'd have match practice and say it was going to be four 20-minute quarters match practice and manipulate it and make it 12 minutes. But make sure everybody's still on edge and maintain the routine, because I know you've got to take a chance when you're having competitive work at training and that sort of stuff. But you can't go in soft between the ears, and that's the most important thing. And even to the point of, you know, pushing your good players aside a little bit and getting your also rans to compete and fight and create a bit of competition and training. You take a risk, but gee, I reckon sides can lose it if you win the first week of the finals and only end up playing one game in 3 weeks going to a grand final.
Dennis, that's exactly what you said this time last year in that lead up to that Richmond game, when you said that you were a little bit concerned about the fact that they'd had that layoff. So, and that's exactly how it played out. Can you talk about the stresses for a coach at this time of the year, this last month, when you know everything has to go right, or you got to try and get everything right? Is it more stressful than all the other home and away weeks that you participate as a coach at the other part of the year?
Yeah, well, everything's so magnified at the point of the end of the year, Tim, and every decision that you make is assessed and judged, and you know how important they are, and you know, the whole destiny of the club and can rest on, you know, the things that you say and the things that you do, and absolutely critical that you get it right. I reckon at this time of year, the key to success, like it is at the start of the year, is to do the basics well over and over again. And now if you've done that, it's going to give you a best chance for success. Tricks and gimmicks and, you know, pulling the rabbit out of the hat very, very rarely ever work in September. So, you know, if you tack on the ball strong and your players are hard at it, I reckon that's the best starting point and the best recipe for success.
Dennis, before we let you go, I understand, are you at the track this morning?
Yeah. I'm just at the trainer's hut now. Yeah.
How's it all going?
I'm masquerading as a horse trainer, so I've got a couple of horses in work. And as my dad said to me, there's no fool like an old fool.
Are you riding track work or just training, Dennis?
No, just a couple of kgs overweight at the moment. more like 25.
Dennis,
are you like a horse whisperer? What style have you adopted, Dennis?
Off the Michael Holding run up. That's the best one. That's the one that works.
Dennis, thanks for the chat this morning. We appreciate it.
Good on you, Jack. All the best, Tim.
Good on you, Dennis.
Dennis Pagan joining us on SEN Breakfast. He's a ripper. He's an absolute ripper. Our conversation started this morning for Kia's seven-day sale. Receive a $777 bonus across the Kia range. It ends Sunday. Tim, I want to talk to you about Jack Martin after the break.
Okay.
One of the first sort of major jigsaw pieces to be put into place. He's nominated Carlton as his club of choice anyway. I want to talk to you about his value.
Okay.
On the other side of this as well.
We'll do that. I want to talk about why players are so keen to go to Munich and see this doctor when we return.
Jamie Elliott's going to join us from the Pies a little bit later on. He might be able to tell us as well. 1300 736 736. It's SEN Breakfast.